He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. Unfortunately, Butter Pecan is not going to be with us tonight, but we're going to keep it rolling. We're going to keep it hot. We're going to keep it fresh like we always do, or at least we always try to do. So, as always, I welcome your call. Breaking me off a call is 646-929-2037. Once again, and this should be on the ticker for all you live stream viewers. 646-929-2037. Also, as always, I encourage you email, you know, because I want to hear from you. I want you to holler at me. Let me know what's going on in your life, whatnot. And I, of course, encourage emails because I, of course, want to hear from you, want to converse with you, whatnot. You can break us off an email at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Once again, that's smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Now, I want to hear from you. Now, of course, we done took it another step further, and we got our own social network. You know, I want to network with y'all. You know, I want to be able to chat, you know, share some music. I want to go back and forth with y'all all the way, personal life. So you can join our social network at www.smoothdrama.ning, that's NING.com. Once again, you can join our social network at www.smoothdrama.ning. .ning.com. You know, you can add your pictures, your photos, your music, your videos. You know, and you get to holler at me and Butter. You know, I'm with you. Now, of course, we still have our Smooth Drama store. You know, and as always, at least once a month, I got to push the Smooth Drama Thong. We have Smooth Drama Thongs. What else do I need to say? That should be enough right there. And if that don't move you, we got the Smooth Drama Boxers. You know, a little space, hang out a little bit, do your thing. And all of that, you can see if you go to the social networking site, the www.smoothdrama.ning.com site, and all of that is there, including our featured guest page. You know, we want to be able to do it all with y'all. Whatever, whenever, however. Hook us up. Come in there. We want to chat with y'all. You know, you my peeps. You know what I'm saying? I'm down with y'all. You know, at least I'm down with y'all more than the lotto winner's husband. Well, the husband who won the lotto and left his wife. It's not funny, but it is kind of funny. You know, it's just my favorite place, Florida. South Florida woman found out her husband won the lotto, and then he left her. And, you know, she got evicted out the house, whatnot. I actually saw the video. It was sad, but it was kind of funny too, because she was like, I don't know what happened. He just stopped paying the bills and he just disappeared. And so she goes and she Googles him. His name is Arnim Ramdas. And I guess what happened was him and a few of his airline mechanic homies won $19 million in the June 2007 lottery jackpot. And he didn't tell her. And first thing he did was, bye-bye. And he just disappeared off the set. Now, Miss Campbell, and that's her name, Donna Campbell, she's looking for him, trying to find him so that she can serve him with divorce papers and whatnot and file suit for half of the money. But I'm thinking you're probably not going to find the brother. I'm thinking Mr. Ramdas has left the building. He left the country. He's probably moved on to greener, oh, so much greener pastures. So, sorry. Sucks to be you. Hopefully you wasn't getting on him when that happened. It's sad. I don't know if I got an opinion either way, whether it be good or not. I just thought it was funny, I don't know if she didn't really care whether he was gone or not when she thought he was broke, and then she found out that he had money and then she cared. I don't know. It's up in the air. I guess we can say that they didn't have the happiest of marriages, or he probably would have stayed. Maybe he was a minute man and she didn't care. But now she wants that minute back. I said that on the air. Wants that minute back. Wow. Anyway, speaking of minute men, I'm sure y'all know about the minute men, the local anti-immigration group, who stopped the illegal immigrants from crossing the border, whatnot. Well, San Diego Minutemen, they won $100,000 from the state in the fight over an Adopt a Highway cleanup sign. And guess what happened is they got messed over by their lawyer. The law firm that represented them kind of got them for their money. And so now they're not going to get their money that they sued for, so they have to sue their lawyer by hiring another lawyer to get the money that the first lawyer took from them. Now I'm sitting up here thinking, maybe you should have just stuck to trying to fight for the border or being Minute Men. And what kind of name is Minute Men anyway? Don't they know the negative connotation that comes with being a Minute Man? They obviously didn't consult the ladies when they picked this name. I'm going to be a Minute Man. Just the thought of me saying, you know what? I want to be a Minute Man. I can't see it. I'm not feeling wanting to be a Minute Man. Not only because the whole, you protecting the border and all that other stuff that I'm not really going to get into and don't care about either way, but the fact that as a Minute Man, you're probably not going to do too well with the lady. For obvious reasons. Because you only got a minute. a good, I mean, I guess, you know, you're a Minuteman, you know, you say, hey, I'm a Minuteman, I'm proud, and I got a strong Minute, you know, one of the most flavor-filled and energy-packed Minutes that you can ever have. Maybe that might be something that you can say to the lady, you know. Anyway, I'm going to leave that alone. But Minutemen, good luck with that. Be proud. Two thumbs up, baby. You know, Minutemen, these thumbs up for you. Yeah. Anyway, I got heartened. I read something and I was like, oh my God, gangs are coming together to do something? And I was like, shit, man, the gangs are coming together, they're going to do something? You know, right here in San Diego in the Oceanside area? Unfortunately, they got together to pimp, you know, pimping three teenagers in a motel up in the Carlsbad, Escondido area, as well as up in Riverside. The ages range from 18 to 28, and there are 10 defendants, and they're all from Oceanside. I'm not going to say their name. I just thought that it was sad to, you know, we had gangs working together, and I'm sitting up there like, hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about. The gangs can come together, be one, do something positive, and then they pimp it. Now, as y'all know, you've been listening to me for a while now. I am a strong advocate. Like, I was an advocate for the legalization of marijuana. I'm also an advocate for the legalization of prostitution. You know, some people think, well, Dick, you done lost your goddamn mind. Why in the hell would you be for prostitution? But I think just like in the case of the legalization of marijuana, legalization of everything else, you can monitor it a little bit better if you can get some of them underboard, underworld cats out of it. You know, the dudes that smacking the shit out their women and beating them and putting them out there. I mean, because my ideal model of prostitution is obviously one where the women, you know, can get health benefits. They can unionize and be able to, funny as that sounds, they can get together and talk about how to better their craft. I mean, if there's such a thing, this is bettering prostitution. I mean, everybody knows what it is, but, you know, I think that you can take some of the violence, the murders, the disease, you know, a lot of the danger out of it if you, of course, legalize it. It's just a thought. I mean, personally, I think that if you get in the prostitute, you're kind of weak, but that's just my opinion. I've never had the pleasure of being with a prostitute, and probably never will be, although you can never say never, but I'm going to say 99.999999999% sure it's not going to happen, you know, because I just don't see it. Plus, I'm kind of handsome. You know, I don't really have to do the whole prostitution escort deal. You know, I got some looks about me. Not to be vain or anything like that. I'm just saying, it's just not me. You know, I've been told that, you know, women think I'm handsome. So that's another reason why You know, the women who think I'm handsome, a lot of them aren't prostitutes, so I don't have to, anyway. So on that note, we're going to do a station identification break after this message. I'll be right back.
Listen here, man. It's your boy Cam Wee. I'm just acting a fool. With my man DH, y'all know him as, and Butter Butter Pecan. Yes, sir. Chosen.
All right. Big shout out to my man Cam Wee down in Jersey. Up in Jersey, whichever one you want to call it, blessing us with that. Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, you know, filling in the day. You know, Butter Pecan got some issues, but she always got issues and probably always will have issues. Yeah. Anyway, As a parent, I always wonder, you know, how people relate to their kids, whatnot, how they discipline their kids, you know, what's the relationship, you know, because, you know, as a parent, you know, your role changes a little bit. You start off, you know, the nurturing and the nurturing never stops, and then you have the discipline, and then you start transitioning as they get older to the friendship, whatnot. But it's like that whole disciplinary part of parenting, which is probably the hardest part. You know, when you're firm, when do you fall? I know a lot of parents struggle with that. So I saw read a story actually where these parents turn in their own child, you know, and because the police were asking for help identifying the suspect that was involved in the jewelry theft, and they got a tip that the man's parents called after seeing the surveillance pictures during a newscast showing the subject, who they claimed was their son. And this happened at Gyms and Loans up in the Oceanside area. We just all local tonight. San Diego area, for those who don't know, we're located in the San Diego area. Anyway, he was accused of going behind the counter and grabbing a tray of gold necklaces when the clerks were distracted, and he got away. He had stole nearly $7,000 worth of jewelry. You know, him and the second person were arrested in connection with the robbery. And I guess that, you know, makes me beg the question. Do you, as a parent, you know, for any parents out there listening, would you turn in your child? You know, would you, your relative, you know, would you turn them in? Would you be the one to, you know, rat them out anonymously? You know, what I said when we had the Thanksgiving, these people that you see once a year, and try to avoid the rest of the year, would you turn their asses in? they did something bad and you knew it. Like, you know, you knew that your family member was a murderer, drug dealer, whatnot. And I know there's a lot of people who haven't had that experience, and then there's a lot of people who have. You know, and I know this is one of those tough questions that, you know, you're like, this is fam. But then if your fam is like murderous, just a damn monster, what do you do? You know, what do you do? I wonder that. I wonder if anybody out there even thinks about it like that. You know, man, I'm not the only one. I mean, I've known some characters in my day. You just, guess you never know whether or not you got a crazy relative, and what do you do about said crazy relative? You turn them in like these parents did, or do you move on with it? Ah, I don't know. I do know that as a practical joker coming up, there's a lot of practical jokes. And what was funny then as a kid probably isn't quite as funny now as an adult. You know, somebody would step the game. Like I used to say, unfortunately, we used to, you know, throw rocks at people's houses. I mean, we used to do a lot of awful stuff in the name of fun. You know, awful now because, you know, I think somebody threw a rock through my window, or I'm on the warpath, so I want to hurt somebody. And I remember we would call cabs to each other's houses. Mind you, date myself, this is before call ID and things of that nature. So, yeah, you didn't really get caught calling the tow truck to your homie's house in the middle of the night. I mean, just doing stupid stuff like that. Now, there's a dentist who, I don't know who he pissed off, but he definitely pissed off the wrong person, because Dr. Robert Thousand and his staff, they get up to 500 calls a day from a 1-900 sex line. Which to me, I'm like, damn, that's great. I mean, because I can say this because my homie, he never listens to the show. I can say this. My homie, who never listens to the show, when he had his beeper, I would always, like, text his, well, not text, but I would put into his beeper the sexaholic number, whatnot, so he would call it, you know, it was just funny. I would always do that. I thought it was hilarious. But, of course, he never knew. But I would do it, like, every week. I would send to his beeper, just, you know, because beepers were anonymous there. I could do it. I would just break out the whole, you know, 1-800 sexaholics or alcoholics. I would always find something in the reader or whatnot and text that number. It'd be something stupid, of course, just so when he called it, you know, obviously he would get it and be like, what the fuck? It's funny. Practical joke. Now, this right here is funny as hell because it's in St. Augustine, Florida, and the dentist, he Dennis gets about 500 calls a day from the 1-900 sex line. Now, the employee, one of the employees, Joyce Outlaw, says that she's just stuck. You know, she said it at the time of the interview with newspaper, they had received 433 calls since 9:30 in the morning. You know, they said the calls been pouring in on the office phones and the doctor's cell nonstop. And of course he said Mr. Thousand, kind of funny. Mr. Thousand, that's his name, Thousand. Anyway, last name, Robert Thousand. Right, why can't he be Robert Thousand? Anyway, Robert Thousand was like, it's hurting his business because real customers can't get through to the office. And, you know, he's saying the bill. You know, I guess he's not smart enough to get the unlimited plan like most people have. You think he'd be a doctor, be smart enough to get that. Anyway, he's saying that, you know, for the 400 to 500 times a day that his cell phone rings, you know, he tried to contact AT&T, and he doesn't know what his phone bill will be, thousands. He's sure. He said the calls are recording with a simple choice of options from the menu. If you're gay, press 1. If you're a lesbian, press 2. And it just goes on from there. And I'm sitting up here like, damn. Unfortunately, gone are the days when you could do that. And it's kind of sad, man, because, you know, you can't do it. We can't do nothing anonymous, unfortunately. And that's the problem. There's no anonymity no more. I can't do the practical jokes that I used to. I mean, because I would love to do this. You know, quite honestly, if I could send it, you know, these numbers, text the number to somebody anonymously, and they call back, and they just get caught up in the 1-900 sex line, whatnot, I would do it. Just because it would be funny as hell. I don't know about anybody else, and I guess what I'm doing is I'm asking and welcoming other folks' ideas for practical jokes. You know, I want to go into 2010, go and do some practical joking. You know, it's part of the whole love movement. We gotta do some practical jokes that are funny. Have some fun with it. You know, I don't think we have enough fun still as it is. Y'all feel me? So y'all got any ideas on some good practical jokes that I can play on my homies? You know, break me off a call, 646-929-2037. And, you know, if that's too much, you don't want to call on the air and say the practical jokes, whatnot, you, of course, can email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Or if you want to just get personal with it, you don't want nobody to know, because I might, I'm not saying it's a strong possibility, but I might be playing some of these practical jokes on Butter. So, if you want me, you think this would be a good practical joke that I can play on Butter, hit me up at dickatsmoothdrama.com. You know, and I will keep it in mind. And of course, when I do it, if I do it, I will let you know so that, you know, you will definitely get the proper credit. And hopefully Butter don't pull out a gun and try to shoot me and you. I hope not, at least. That wouldn't be funny at all. That would probably be the opposite of funny. Unfunny. What is unfunny? I don't know. Woo! Wow. Damn. I gotta say, well, I guess I should hold off before I say anything. and go to our station identification break. After this message, I'll be right back.
Together you got the smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drum with your host, Dick Hugger. Now, I know a lot of y'all know me as a conspiracy guy. You know, I get on my soapbox. I'm all over the place. Now, as I stated earlier, I was for the legalization of marijuana. You know, I mean, because I think marijuana is better than Aspex, Sudafex, Dudafex, and any other sex that they got out there that supposedly helps you calm down or whatnot, but all the side effects, all of them are universal in the whole, you're gonna have diarrhea, you're going to have inflammation of the stomach, you're going to have dry mouth, cotton mouth. You know, all these side effects that are worse than just the damn fear and anxiety that you have. And I'm like, shit, smoke some weed. So now, hell, at least out here in California, at least, and I know they're talking about in different parts of the country, I think like Colorado also, marijuana, medicinal marijuana is legal. They have a lot of medicinal places, whatnot. And, well, you know, there's a Showtime show called Weed. I used to watch, you know, about a suburban woman and her family. The husband died and she had to take care of these kids. And so she started selling marijuana. You know, and growing marijuana in the suburbs, whatnot. Well, now they're taking this shit to the next level. I mean, you know, Colorado, you got the woman, 48, she's a pot farmer, she's got 60 plants, which has yielded 13 pounds. You know, she has spent most of her life as a hairdresser and salon owner in Denver suburbs, and now she's growing and selling marijuana to the medicinal places. And I'm like, you know, that's cool and all. And, you know, I guess she went through all the proper channels to get her license, sort of like the guy here in Carlsbad who had got a license. And he was able to grow marijuana, you know, for his own stash, whatnot. But he also would have a chance to sell it to a medicinal marijuana place. I'm like, now, what about the homies in the hood? Are they going to be able, how do you qualify? You know, I mean, I know that's one of those things, and I'm sure they have the guidelines out there. But I'm like, do the homies get a chance to grow and be farmers like everybody else? Or are they, for lack of a better word, blackballed? I hate blackballed, unless I'm doing it. Blackballed. I don't understand the whole, now you got all these suburbanites who are able to capitalize on the marijuana legalities and are selling it with no major crackdowns. I know here in San Diego, couple months ago, there was a major crackdown on a few different spots. saying that they were selling and where they were growing and they were illegal places, whatnot. And I guess what I'm saying is the permit, in the permit process, how is that evaluated? Who evaluates that? Are all these things open to the rest of us? You know, sort of like, you know, we can go down to City Hall and it's transparent. We know what's going on, how it's going on, what's the process. So, like, if I wanted to grow some marijuana, and I'm not, I guess, I don't know if there's criminal connotations, like if you have a criminal background, can you not grow? I mean, can you do a business, the tax write-off? I mean, all this stuff that's just not explained, hasn't been explained, it's just been happening and thrown out there. I'm curious about that, you know, because now as someone who's been the advocate of it and now it's coming to fruition, what are the steps and who benefits and there's tax money involved? Where does the tax money go? You know, and is that tax money going to go towards improving some of the things that need improving as far as school system, roads, you know, putting that back into the city, into the cities to help, you know, regenerate the economy and the job market? I mean, these are some of the things that are very important questions, and they need some answers, public answers. You know, these are the questions and answers that I want to hear about. Man, I don't want to hear about no Tiger Woods and how much pussy he getting. I don't care. You know, none of that stuff's important to me. I want to know about marijuana mom and is she paying taxes and where are those taxes going? Just a thought. Medicinal marijuana places, do they pay taxes? I mean, are all these people lumped in one area? You know, I myself think this is something that we should write our congressmen, our senators with to find out what is the specific plan, since this was voted on by these people, assemblymen, whatever. There should have been an outline plan on the tax dollars, and we get a breakdown. A numerical breakdown of where it's going and where it should go. This is something that we should know. Just a thought. You know, just putting it out there, y'all. As you know, we're talking about California is a broke-ass state. And, hell, any extra money we can get to this broke-ass state all of a sudden would help to shortfall what Mr. Terminator done and lost mysteriously. You know, just even though he did announce they're going to be building the stadium up in the city of industry to lure NFL team, but nobody's talking about where that money's going to come from. Is this where, you know, is it a conspiracy that he just so happens announces a stadium is going to be built and he passes weed being legal to be grown and sold here and hacks? Is that money going there? Inquiring minds want to know. I hope it's not. I hope that it's going to go towards schools and funding school teachers and after school programs and things that are important to the development of the youth and the infrastructure of America, which I'm working on that. I'm doing my own contract with America. Y'all look out for me. I'm going to be coming out with Dick Hugger's contract with America. It's going to be off the chain. Y'all, I got some ideas for y'all. And you know, y'all think it's good, I might just go ahead on and run for Congress. Fuck it. Dick Hugger for Congress. A name you can trust. You can trust Dick. You can hug him and squeeze him. Not too tight, but you can hug him and squeeze him and it'd be all good. Or something like that. Anyway, speaking of conspiracy theories, there was a recall for the, is not just a regular recall, a recall of 800,000 H1N1 vaccine doses for young children. Now, of course, they said safety's not a concern. You know, one of the five manufacturers who was supplying the H1N1 vaccine to the United States, you know, said, oh, we're recalling them because they're not as potent as they should be. You know, the French manufacturer, Sanofi Pasteur, is voluntarily recalling the 800,000 doses meant for children between the ages of 6 months and 35 months. And the company and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention emphasized that the recall was not prompted by safety concerns, even though the vaccine isn't quite as potent as it's supposed to be. And they said children who received it don't have to be immunized again. Now, hold the fuck up. Who are you trying to, you gonna tell me that if they didn't need to be vaccinated again, why would you recall a dose that you say wasn't potent enough? Not potent enough mean that it's not gonna work quite as well. Now, I know I'm not insulting the intelligence of the people, and I'm not saying that the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and Sanofi Pasteur Sanofi Pasteur. Is that French enough? I don't know. Anyway, not saying that they are trying to throw wool over their eyes. I'm just saying that, hey, you recalling this shit, you're saying the people who got it from them, it's okay, but you're recalling these doses because they're not quite what they should be. All I can say is this, parents, if you took your kids out there to get this H1N1 shot, I would ask my doctor where I got the shot, or clinic, or school. Was it the Sanofi Pasteur? Because I'm sure they know. I'm almost 500% sure that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt who supplied them with the doses. So that you would know, and you could have a little peace of mind. You know? I just find it funny that you can break out the whole, well, it's no big deal. You know, we just recalling it out of the kindness of our heart. Now, on the other hand, for those of you who have small children, the federal agency in charge of product safety announced the recall of 2.1 million cribs Monday, citing defective hardware that can cause toddlers and infants to suffocate. They recalled about 147,000 Stork Craft drop-size cribs with the Fisher-Price logo. The cribs are sold at major retailers, including Sears and Walmart, and online as Amazon.com and Target.com between January 1993 and October 2009. As it says, the Cribs drop side, which was attached with some plastic hardware, can detach unexpectedly and create a space between the crib wall and the mattress. And infants and toddlers can become trapped in the space and suffocate or fall to the floor. There have been about 110 documented incidents of the drop side detachment, including 67 in the United States and 43 in Canada. Among those, 4 resulted in suffocation and 20 resulted in falls that caused injuries ranging from concussions to bumps and bruises. And what makes it bad is this is the second time Stork Craft Cribs are recalled this year. In January, about 535,000 were recalled because of safety concerns. Wow. Wow. Stork Craft. Trying to kill your kids. So, if you have a Stork Craft crib, Fisher-Price logo on it, and the sad part is that it said January 1993. Really? 1993. Wow. That's a long time. That is a very, very long time. On that note, we're going to take one more station identification break before we get ugly and we start talking about these haters out here. Because we can't go out unless we hating on the haters. With that, here's my boy.
You're listening to Smooth Drama. You're listening to Smooth Drama.
Yeah. Welcome back from that station identification break. It's your boy Dick Hugger, you know, with your halfway muscle here, you know, trying to make it work, get my weight lift on, you know, hanging out here with my main man, Godzilla, doing our thing in the absence of Butter. I got Godzilla with me, so any of y'all thinking about stepping to me, whatnot, Butter Pecan, she can't protect me like Godzilla can. Godzilla got fire breath, got the tongue and the teeth here, got the tail that'll come off, smack shit out you if you trying to step to me. Anyway. All right. As always, here at Smooth Drama, we hate haters. You know, because hate is the exact opposite of what we about here. We are about the love movement. As always, I say over and over again, love is stronger than hate. Now, of course, there's the people who think that when you say love, you're talking about lilies and playing the harp and, oh, reciting some poetry and, oh, be nice. Fuck that. No, love is hard. Love is harder than this fake gangster bullshit that's out here now. This fake infatuation, love with hard ambivalence. Nah, man. Love is the shit. Being able to look somebody in the eye. That's what the love movement is. And as I said, you can say hi to somebody that, you know, you may know or you may casually know. You know, talk, you can have a conversation with people. You know, you can acknowledge people. You can be cool with people. You know, you cannot do mean and hateful things to people just because you're a weak-minded motherfucker. Like our first hater here. Well, haters, the Ozark police who used a taser on a 10-year-old girl. Yeah, I mean, Ozark police said, and we gonna quote the officers of the goddamn law. The officer who did shot, and her name was Kiara, shot her after he said she kicked him in the groin. He had no other choice. He had to get the child under control. Police said it is their policy to use a taser on someone who is a threat to others, no matter their age. Police officer Jim, police chief Jim Nugel. Your fucking name is Nugel. You weak. Said that if he tried to restrain her, he might hurt her by restraining her. If you grab somebody, you can slip an arm out of the joint. They can slip from you and fall on the ground. You don't think that the whole tasering a 10-year-old girl wouldn't kind of like be painful, a little bit more painful than holding her arms and she have like a little slight red mark, hold still little girl, 10-year-old? That must have been the baddest, most fearsome 10-year-old ever. So, haters number one, the Ozark police. Y'all are some bitches. Second group of haters. A 14-year-old girl who was ambushed, beat, and kicked in her face, and their face was carved with a knife, and her body was stabbed 5 times in her home. What did she do wrong? She liked a boy. Another 14-year-old girl who was being tried as an adult pleaded not guilty to the attack. She was charged with attempted murder, torture, and other crimes which could carry a potential life sentence. She was ordered jailed on $2 million fine. Prosecutor says she and another girl ambushed the girl in the victim's home in May and tortured her. They made her shower to wash off the evidence and threatened worse if she told anyone. Authorities say she was targeted because she liked the same boy as one attacker. Wow. That is some serious, serious hate. I mean, wow is an understatement on that one. They are 14-year-olds, you know, and I understand that 14-year-olds are silly. Shit. We know teenagers are stupid. Yeah, I said it, stupid. Their minds ain't right. It ain't all totally developed. But because he liked your boy, you beat her up, stab her up, and then try to wash the evidence off her with showers. I mean, that's a whole lot. That is a whole lot. And so, two little girls and a little 14-year-old boy that hated on a girl because she liked the guy that you liked You are some damn little hater monsters. Now, one more hater. Last but not least, and I guess we doing the whole California show tonight. This is West Side. We need to talk SW here for a minute. This is straight West Side. These two girls, Judge and Marietta, which is in the San Diego area, North County, San Diego area, imposed some sentences on two teenage girls who carjacked and murdered a 20-year-old mother so that they could take her car to Knott's Berry Farm. In San Diego, the city's name, Anna Alejandra Salinas, who was 15, she shot the 20-year-old Angelina Arias in the head and was sentenced to 59 years to life in prison. And Diana Cordova, who was 16 at the time of the murder, was sentenced to life without parole. Now, Cordova, who is now 18 years old, received an additional 9-year prison sentence for child abuse and kidnapping because she and Salinas drove around with the victim's 9-month-old daughter for about 2 hours before leaving her on someone's Lake Elsinore doorstep. And the baby was not found by the home's residents for at least 2 hours. And you know what made it bad about this one is that this started because the girl offered them a ride. Yeah. And you know the funny thing was, when the girls was left in the interview room, they was laughing about it and eating, and they blamed the woman for giving them a ride. Now, I've had some haters. We've talked about haters before. But you know what? This is hate international here. That is some of the worst hate that I have ever fucking heard in my life. They said, you know, they took the car so that they could go to Knott's Berry Farm. They shot her, and they said, well, it was her fault. She gave us a ride. That is hate. Is giving you a ride and you were still, and the baby's in the car and you riding around, you just like, you know what, you know, we just gonna drop the baby off. Eight. Yeah, that is hate. That is our haters right there. Miss Cordova and Miss Selena, you are the haters of the week. If you ever hear this, you're of age now, fuck you. It's a damn shame that you have so much hate in your heart. I'm hoping that the love movement can touch you. You know, you can get some love in your heart. If not, well, fuck you. You know, people like you should never get out if you can't repent on this. It's just sad. And with that, I'm out. Your boy Dick Hugger. Want y'all to have a great weekend. I know I'm have a great weekend because it's the weekend, damn it. Anyway, until next Tuesday, I holla. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth.
She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got smooth drama. Smooth drama.
Yeah, I'm crazy. And if you're still watching and listening, peace, love, soul, Greece, and all that other.